Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 6 of E4 2020. This is going to be the Microsoft episode-ish thing, Xbox Game Showcase, whatever they did. I'm Tommy, Jamie sitting right there. We are in the same room again.
How did we do that?
Twice in a summer. It is crazy that's happening.
It's insane.
But it's a good thing. We're excited to talk about some video games. We've got plans to do a lot of fun stuff this afternoon, get some content for you guys. So
I just want everybody to be aware. No, there's no video for the show, so I want everybody to be aware. You'll probably see it later. He is rocking the Astros hat.
Yep.
Because we are, what, a week away from baseball?
Today. Yesterday was opening day, quote-unquote, weird baseball times. But the Astros play their first game tonight.
What time is that?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
So, listening to it on my way home.
That's
the plan.
Fantastic.
So, yep, got to rep my cheating Astros. It's a rough time to be an Astros fan. Of all the terribleness of the pandemic, and there is every bit of it is terrible, the thinnest, tiniest, itty-bittiest silver lining for me as an Astros fan is that it's kind of taken away a lot of the spotlight of the baseball season being about how much everybody hates the Astros to being the baseball season being about COVID, which, again, not how we would want that to go.
Right.
But the ittiest, bittiest, teeniest, tiniest silver lining is that everybody's talking about COVID instead of how the Astros cheated.
I had to bring it up because I knew how you would bring one. I knew it. I had to bring it up.
Yep.
So
no, that's fair. And I'm still 100% an Astros fan. I'm excited to see them play tonight. We get 60 games, maybe. Juan Soto tested positive yesterday, right before the first game, which the Nationals were playing in. And so one of the star players in baseball already tested positive for COVID on opening day. And so yeah.
So
whether or not we get through 60 games honestly seems pretty optimistic to me. But just having baseball is something that's exciting. And so if I only get like 5 games, it's still 5 games of baseball.
I was about to ask, what do you think the over-under is that this whole thing gets blown up?
I think it's highly likely it gets blown. I have a hard time, unless, again, things get under control, maybe things turn and we can get through these 60 games, but they're going to have 16 teams make the playoffs and they're doing
right.
These three, it's a lot to try to, they're traveling, they're not doing the bubble thing. Like the NBA is doing the bubble thing more so at least than baseball is. I have a hard time seeing them get through it. I'm hopeful. Obviously I love baseball. I want to see it happen, but
you know,
man.
I love sports, and that NBA bubble was ridiculous. I've been watching that thing. But I have my doubts as to whether that whole thing's not going to blow up.
Yeah.
Because guys keep having to leave for family issues.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at this going, they just spent $150 million to put this bubble together, and they may not get the playoffs in.
Yeah.
So.
It's we're doing the best we can in this time of COVID, you know, which brings us to what exactly we're doing here right now is the year of COVID E3, which started a month and a half ago.
Dude, nice segue. That right? is tight. That is great.
And so we had the Microsoft Xbox showcase game showcase, happened yesterday. Was like all the other ones we've seen, this digital event, which I think they executed really pretty well. It was slick. Phil looked a whole lot better than he did during the, which one was it? The Ubisoft one, whichever one he showed up in that was awful.
Or EA.
Maybe it was EA. Yeah. I don't remember. Whichever one he showed up in that was terrible quality. This was really good quality. It was slick. It was polished. They put it together well. And again, what's really nice about not being in an auditorium in front of a bunch of people is that you don't get the little hype thing. You don't get the like far camera shot as opposed to just the direct footage of games. And so on just the how enjoyable it is to watch from home factor.
Yeah,
I've really liked this summer.
I
hope that a lot of this continues into the future, even though I want E3 to come back as an event because I love it. Like, I want the way that stuff is presented to keep looking like this because I think it's been delivered really well.
I'm an awful host of this show because I sent you a text on Thursday and said, what time is that? Because I did not know. I should have Googled it and looked it, but I didn't. But I did not, because you were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I got your text this morning when I was driving out.
so I was very happy about the fact that I knew where it was going to be, and it was really easy to find the replay. And like, I watched it on my own time. I totally missed it live. There's no way I would have caught it live. But it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing about this, is it took me a couple weeks to figure out how things were working, but once you figure out how things are working, it's very easy for shows like us to put stuff together.
Yes.
I mean, I think a lot of our joy right now, part of the reason that you're hanging out here for the second time in like a month, is because it's not all in one week. You know, we can kind of space it out.
Yes.
And I really dig that.
Yeah, I do too. You have some time to process. You have some time to like get hyped about the next one, and so. The fact that Sony happened a month ago and then Microsoft happened yesterday, like, it just feels like good space. Like, it keeps the summer interesting, whereas having this like fire hose of a week and then July and August are like twiddling your thumbs. Like, what's going on in the gaming world? Glad we saw all that stuff and got hyped. Like, it feels like my gaming hype is continuing. On top of that, we've got really good software out right now to be playing as well, and so that just helps in everything else. So.
The worst part about that is we're not getting to the really good software we should be playing.
Yeah, we'll get back to that soon, hopefully. So,
yeah.
All that said, let's run through and discuss what Microsoft showed off, and of course, we'll start with what they started with, which was Halo. And so we knew Halo Infinite was coming. That was going to be a big part of this. And so they didn't waste any time. That's how they kicked off the show. And Halo got a lot of mixed reactions. Online, watching Twitter was really fascinating. But I think even between us, I'm interested to have this conversation about Halo. I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. There were some things that got me really happy and some things that really disappointed me about Halo Infinite. So
okay, so let's start with your disappointment, because I didn't really find any disappointment because it was totally what I expected it to be, which was more Halo. 343 has found this formula and they just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. And each time they do it, it looks a little better. Things are a little tighter. I thought it looked like, of course, we don't have a controller in our hands, so we don't know. It looked like the controls were tight. I mean, like, it looked like the thing was really well put together. And I'm not going to say I was impressed, but it was like, it was more Halo.
Yeah.
You know, that's that you, like, there's no way that you could look at that and go, yeah, okay, that's so different than what we've seen. So it's the same thing that we've seen for 15 years.
Yep.
And that's okay.
And that's the part where I'm a little disappointed, because I haven't played the last couple of Halos, because I honestly just haven't cared that much, right?
Right.
And I was looking forward to Halo Infinite being the next generation of Halo, right?
Right.
Of it being the thing that gets me back into Halo, saying, oh, this is a Halo game I got to play. Like, yeah. I've sat out a couple of Halo games just because it's just been Halo. It looks pretty. It's tight. And you're absolutely right. Everything about it. And I even got like a little giggly moment of whenever Master Chief comes out and starts shooting Covenant. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, that's Halo. And I loved Halo 20 years ago. Yeah. You know, like 19 years ago was when the original Halo came out. And it immediately reminded me of that. But that's about as far as it got, because it's just Halo. Now, it does, this is the part that I'm excited about, and that I want to play it more than I've wanted to play the past couple of Halo games, is because for whatever reason, it just feels a little bit more nostalgic to me. Like, something about the look of it, the feel of it, felt more like the original game than the more recent ones.
Okay,
have, right?
So let's go there.
Yep.
Because the look of it is something, and this applies for all of their software, the look of their software was like, wow, okay. Like, it's not Unreal 5 level, but it's like, I can get with this. You know, it's not, when we saw Unreal 5, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
I did not get that from this, but it was a noticeable upgrade.
I don't know that I think Halo Infinite is. Other stuff, I'll give that to you.
Okay.
Halo Infinite looks fine.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that's, and this is a point that we're going to come back to over and over and over. And so let's start this discussion about this now and again, something that we're going to bring up as we talk through this. Microsoft isn't next gen yet.
No.
Just not. Nope. Halo Infinite is an Xbox One title. It may be a little bit sleeker on Xbox Series X. It may have 60 frames per second and 4K resolution on Xbox Series X. But it is a game that is designed for the Xbox One, as is everything else we saw in this showcase. As much as they want you to believe that these are all Xbox Series X games, Microsoft has said themselves, we're making games that are cross-compatible or whatever. There's no console exclusives, first-party console exclusives coming to the Series X from them for 2 years or a year or whatever. It kind of floats around. One game they showed only said Series X, which was Forza. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But it's the only one that they even kind of hinted at may be a next-gen exclusive. Nothing else in that show was quote-unquote next-gen. And Microsoft is taking this approach that the Series X right now feels like what the Xbox One X is, right? Like, it's the next iteration of this kind of upgrade cycle that's not a next generation thing. And they're trying to kind of walk this line of saying that this is next gen, because they said multiple times, this is going to be the consistently most powerful next gen console. But they're not putting out next gen games. You know, like, I kind of don't care if you have the most powerful next-gen console, which we can get into the whether or not that's true. But if your flagship title isn't a next-gen game, if your flagship title is an Xbox One game that is going to be a little bit prettier on the Xbox Series X, but look like what we saw, I don't need an Xbox Series X. Like, in any way. Nothing about this show convinced me that I need an Xbox Series X. What I'm hoping for is either the Xbox One gets a big price drop when it comes out, or that they do the Series S thing that we still think they'll probably do next month, and that's going to be, we'll talk about that more later, but that's going to be a lower price point that may be a little bit more appealing. But the Series X has zero appeal to me right now.
And think about this. Think about this for just a second, because I thought about this yesterday. Everything you said is 100% correct. And I'm wondering if we're missing something. Because what I thought was, and one group of people, it was actually Obsidian that made the reference. And I hate to ruin it before we get to the game.
But go ahead.
But they said... They said, I don't remember what the exact line was about, if you're looking for the best game of the year, this is not it. That's Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
But we're here to we're here to fill the gap. And I thought everything that I saw yesterday, I'm gonna be able to run on my PC with my 3080 or whatever it is that I buy before Cyberpunk comes out. And that's wholly dependent on whether you're going to be able to get here to put it in. I'm probably going to spend a chunk of money on that. We're probably both going to spend a chunk. Like, whether your wife freaks out or not, I'm probably going to give you money to go buy a graphics card because we have to upgrade.
Yeah.
And so if we have the new NVIDIA card, which Sam says that's what he's getting, and he's trying to get rid of his 2080 right now, the stuff that they showed is going to look as good as it could possibly look on that card.
Sure.
And so my question becomes, like, what's their play?
Yeah. And I think that's fair, because I think, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter, that for the first time that I can remember, it feels like the big three game companies, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, are all going three different directions, right? Sony, or Nintendo's got their own thing. Yeah. They've got the Switch. They're not trying to be super powerful console, whatever, and it's brilliant, and it's hugely successful, and it's amazing, and God bless Nintendo.
By the way, have knock in the house. Thank you very much. That works fairly well, so
fantastic.
Loving that.
Sony is doing very traditional next gen, right? Came out with this PlayStation 5 event and said, hey, PlayStation 5, let us show you games that are only PlayStation 5 compatible. Ratchet and Clank, that game has to have that solid state drive to work. Can't do what that game does on a PlayStation 4.
Right.
Horizon, that has to be a next gen title, right? They're showing us stuff that has to be next gen, saying we are going to the next generation of video games. And that's where they're going. And they're going to go wholeheartedly into the PlayStation 5 in 4 months. Microsoft is trying to position themselves as a gaming platform, not as a hardware company. And they are established as a hardware company, and so they still are going to do hardware for a while. But they, I don't think they care that I don't really want a Series X right now because I have a PC, and I want to play a bunch of these games. And so they're going to get me on the Xbox platform because the Xbox now is a platform, not a console. And so I'm going to play Xbox games, as weird as that is to say, on PC, right? I'm going to play Microsoft games on PC, but it's Xbox Game Studio games that I'm going to play on PC, and I'm pumped about that.
What they want more than you playing them on PC is to play them on xCloud. I think they're trying to position themselves to have xCloud be the online service that Stadia is not. I mean, we talked about it during the roundtable, and we all laughed at Chris. But Stadia, as good as it is not that service. xCloud can be that service. And if they put just a little bit of effort into it, Google's not really paying enough attention for them to really have enough competition. I'm like, they don't really have to work that hard.
Yeah.
If the network's there, they're all good. They're going to own that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, to be a little fair to Google, it's because Google isn't a gaming company. They don't have the gaming side that Microsoft has. This is why Microsoft's the best situated company, gaming company or otherwise, to do this, is because they have both the gaming side in that they have, you know, 20 years of being an established gaming console maker, and they have the infrastructure side. Nintendo and Sony don't have the infrastructure side. Amazon and Google don't have the gaming side. Microsoft is the only one of these companies that's set up to do both of those things. And so absolutely, xCloud seems to be, and again, that'll be Xbox Online or whatever they want to call it, you know, that's part of their platform. Yeah. They want you playing their content. And however you get that, if it's a Series X, if it's a PC, if it's xCloud, I think they're going to be happy. They're not trying to sell hardware the same way that Sony's trying to sell hardware. Sony doesn't have any way you can get to their games other than on their hardware. For the most part, though, they are starting to play with the PC market. Horizon's coming to PC. And so I imagine we'll see more of that, especially as the cloud gaming thing becomes more of a thing. Everybody's going to need to be in that cloud gaming space in some way. And so, yeah, they'll do that too. But it is like, Microsoft is selling software on a platform, not selling software for a device. And that's a different thing. And part of what that means right now, where they're at in trying to kind of make that transition, is they just don't have anything that's next gen. And that was the biggest disappointment for Halo specifically for me. And overall, I mean, I want to see next gen stuff. I'm excited about next gen. that's not where Microsoft is right now. They will be. We'll get there. And we'll see as soon as third parties are putting out next-gen exclusive stuff, it's going to be on the Series X. That's going to happen sooner than the Xbox Game Studios stuff is going to be exclusive to the Series X. But Microsoft themselves is obviously setting themselves up to be this different thing. I'm curious because we obviously follow gaming really closely. There's a lot of people that don't. I'm curious how many people are going to be pretty pissed when they go buy an Xbox Series X and then find out all the games that they want to play are out on the Xbox One and aren't that much different.
Hey, well, let me be honest with you, and this will lead us into a discussion that we're going to have later today on video about a topic that I came up with. I think there's two groups of people. I think there's the group of people that doesn't play for various reasons that we'll talk about later. And there's the group of people that have, well, there's three, because there's a group of people that doesn't play. There's us, the gaming community. And then there's the kids with parents that don't have a clue. And they just buy whatever's out there because the kid says, I want this. And so they go out and get it for Christmas or birthday or whatever. I think that's what Microsoft is banking on.
Oh, sure.
I really do. I think they're banking on that come the Christmas season, everybody's gonna buy a Series X in that group of people because it's the newest, greatest thing. It doesn't matter whether it has the highest fidelity games, because parents aren't paying attention, and all the kids are there for the Xbox Online Play, which is still the best online play out there.
Yeah.
So I think it's that.
I don't disagree with that at all, and I think there's a chunk of, you know, not kids getting from their parents, but just the gaming community in general that just plays Call of Duty or whatever, or Madden, and the Xbox Series X is the next Xbox, and they play on Xbox, and thus there they are, you know? And so, I think Microsoft definitely is banking on a group of people out there that are going to be loyal to Microsoft and upgrade just because it's Microsoft and they want to upgrade without kind of either realizing or caring that much that there's not a significant difference. Again, if you don't have a 4K TV, one
which
biggest
we
selling
don't, big by
factors
the way.
Of upgrading to the Series X doesn't matter to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, there's, it feels to me again like it's an incremental hardware update, not a next gen thing. Whereas the PlayStation 5 don't have a 4K monitor, but I want to play Horizon, and that's still going to look good on my 1080p monitor. You know, like, it doesn't matter that my monitor's not 4K. Horizon's still going to be darn pretty on my monitor, and it's not something that can play on the PlayStation 4.
That's right.
And that's not what the Xbox situation is. And it's just it's a weird thing.
And I will take this time to say, if anybody wants to send us two 4K displays, we will find a place to put them.
Absolutely.
Because that's something that we don't have that we talked over and over that we need.
Yep.
So if you want to send us two 4K displays, we will take those. Yes. Thank you very much.
Very true. Now, really quickly, get back to Halo. It does look fun to play.
Yes.
It's more open world, and I think that could be cool. They've added some stuff. They have like a grappling hook thing that reminded me of Doom, right?
Yeah.
Like that little gameplay mechanic that looks like it could be fun to add some new gameplay.
You know, it was Doom, but there was also some Quake in there. I saw with that shotgun, I'm like, ooh, that's Quake. Quake.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be fun to play. It's just not next gen. And that's, everybody's showing up to the Microsoft event saying, let's see next gen Halo. And they're like, here's this gen Halo. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
What it felt like to me, and where that kind of nostalgia, just the little section that they showed, is it just looked like a really great remaster of the original. You know, like just that little gameplay section. Now, of course, how the game world is built and all that kind of stuff, I don't think is anything like that. I think it's going to be huge and everything else. But just that little section, I went, oh, yeah, that looks like the original Halo on current generation hardware.
Right.
Like, that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
Not, again, not next gen, not mind-blowing. But pretty. So
yeah,
that was Halo. We do have a release date for Halo. It's coming this holiday season, or we have a release window for Halo, which we knew that before. That's not news that we got here. But a lot of the games that we're going to talk about, we have no clue when they're coming. So much of what we saw, while exciting, has no semblance of a release date and could be years down the road. And so we'll go through some of those. We saw a teaser of State of Decay 3. Which the teaser was fantastic.
That was interesting, yeah.
With the zombie deer screaming at you. But that's all we got. Didn't have any idea of gameplay. Don't have any idea of release date or anything like that. But it was cool. Exciting. Optimized for Series X is what they said. On
absolutely. They're going to use them buzzwords all they can.
Yeah. Likewise, we saw the next Forza, which also Phil made a point to say is all in engine, but it wasn't gameplay, which was pretty, as Forza is and always is. And so it's very much the Microsoft side of Gran Turismo that we're like, yeah, it looks really good. We're never going to play this. Just isn't our game.
Nope.
But it's the one, like I mentioned, that doesn't have a release date and had a little thing that just said Xbox Series X, didn't say Xbox One. And so either this whole like 2 years of no Series X exclusives, maybe not all the way true, or Forza's at least 2 years away, either of which could be true.
Or I think it's more likely that they're hedging, because we already know they're hedging on one thing, which is the price. Everybody's hedging on the price. What's the price going to be? And each of the companies is waiting on the others to drop that. I think Microsoft is still trying to figure out the best way to go. Like, if this platform thing doesn't play out the way they expect it to, they may be looking at plan B. Okay, if people don't buy what we expect them to buy, then we have to go this route. And in that case, we have something like Forza that you have to have this new hardware for.
Yeah.
So I think it's a hedge, to be honest with you.
I think so. I think both those things can be true. We'll see more of it probably next year at E3. You know, like, it's not coming out soon. And again, it has a loyal fan base, and then a lot of people in the gaming community that don't care.
What's up, Josh? Our one Forza guy.
I don't know if he's a Forza guy. He's a Gran Turismo guy.
Yeah.
After that, we saw Everwild, which I didn't know anything about. I guess it's been floating out there for a little bit. It's from Rare, which was cool.
Yeah.
And is this super stylized, pretty RPG-ish looking thing, interesting world. I was really pumped about that one.
Yeah. The thing with making one of the best games ever that we talked about the last time that you were here that now really, really sucks. If you go back and play. When you see that Rare logo, it doesn't matter what you're doing, when that comes up, you stop.
Yeah.
Because of the two titles that they did way back in the day that were freaking stellar. There's more than two. There's like four.
Yeah, they used to be a big deal.
And so whenever I see that logo, you just stop, and you're right. It's very well put together. It was very, like, you sat and you watched it and you paid attention.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very well done.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to that one. Coming to Xbox One, obviously will be on Series X as well, but Xbox One and PC, which is great. Then we got to the most Don't Nod game, which is a Don't Nod game. There's other ones that very much feel like Life is Strange, but this one is directly from Don't Nod. It's called Tell Me Why. It's brother and sister. They can kind of see the little kind of superpower, supernatural part of it, is they can kind of see these memories as they're trying to explore, to my best understanding, why their mom hated the guy, the brother, or loved the brother, but hit him or shot him, or I don't know what it was. Like, something went terribly wrong in that relationship.
Right.
And it's a figure out what happened. It's going to be episodic. The first episode, first chapter comes next month, August 27th. if you like Life is Strange, you're probably going to get into this. If you don't like Life is Strange, you probably don't care. Very, very Life is Strange, obviously. Again, because it's Don't Nod. There's other games that look like Life is Strange as well. But this one being Don't Nod.
I said to you, because I saw that, and I was like, cool, they got a new game. And then there were two or three other ones that I'm like, okay, Life is Strange has changed a lot of stuff for a lot of people. Because now we've got people that aren't them trying to recreate what they did. And I think it's either going to be interesting or it's going to be really bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They've obviously done something that people want to do as well. I was surprised because I didn't know anything about this game. I was expecting Twin Mirror, which is the other game that they've been pushing recently to show up, and it didn't show up. So I don't know. But anyway, Microsoft has, I think it's exclusive, timed exclusive. I don't know what it is. Maybe some sort of.
Nothing's exclusive anymore. Yeah. It's got a timer on it. You know it does.
Surely. They talked about Ori and the Blind, or Will of the Wisps, excuse me, that is going to get a big update for Xbox Series X. They showed this fancy little slow-mo thing of 60 frames per second versus 120 frames per second, I think. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I mean, it was cool, and it's a fantastic game, and it's probably going to look better, play better on the Series X. It's not a reason to buy a Series X.
Okay, so here's the question, because I saw that, and... Granted, we already talked about this, was watching on that 1080 display right there. And my thought was, okay, yeah, I get it's going to be a little prettier, but is it going to be prettier enough for a rebuy? And I could not answer that question. And maybe we're not, maybe the issue with the entire conference, maybe we're not seeing the thing that they want people to see, because they this was another one of those where they very clearly said, we're optimizing this, we're turning stuff up, we finally have the power to do what we always wanted to do. And my thought at the end of it was, that's great, but I'm not going to buy the game again.
Which actually brings up a really good point. I'm glad you said that, because this is something we haven't talked about yet, which is a huge part of the news from this show as well. Every single one of these games is on Game Pass from day one. So you don't have to buy it if you got Game Pass.
That's right.
You know, like that's the brilliance of what Microsoft is doing. And I'm glad you said that, because that's part of the service conversation that I'm sure people were screaming at their whatever they're listening to us on right now that we didn't cover. That's what Microsoft is pushing through a lot of this, is that Game Pass is the service you need to play games. If you've got a PC in Game Pass, or if you have an Xbox One or an Xbox Series X or Series S, if they do that, or xCloud with Game Pass or whatever it is, you get all these games. And that's pretty killer for what right now, if you're only doing it on consoles, a $10 a month subscription.
Yeah.
If you do it on PC, it's a $5 a month. Now, granted, on PC, you don't get quite as much as you do on the console right now. We'll see if that changes. Do them both with Xbox Live, you get $15 a month for everything a month, and you just get access to all of these games, which is crazy, right? Like, that's a big deal. you don't have to buy Halo. You don't have to buy any of these. You just get them as part of that subscription fee.
It's nuts, but what I'm wondering is, and this is valuable for you and me, because a couple of things I'm wondering is, A, when does the price go up?
Right.
And B, how many people actually are playing these titles via Game Pass? Because I have one title that I know I'm going back to, and we'll talk about that in a second, because that's next. I know I'm going back to the Outer Worlds. I left it installed. There's not content coming, and as soon as that content comes back, I'm going back to the Outer Worlds. I have the Master Chief Collection installed. I played it a little bit, but I don't have time to go back through Halo because we got new stuff.
Yep.
I have various other Game Pass games installed. I have Gears of War installed. I have all kinds of stuff. But I don't have time to play them. So my question is, and this is a question that we asked on a Facebook page 2 weeks ago, and it's coming up in my head again. Like, we got all these games, but I don't have time to play them. You don't have time to play them. How many people who are paying for this service are in that same boat?
Sure.
And it's great right now because it's $5. And if it goes up to 15, I'll probably still play it. But if it goes to 25, like, what's the number where we look at it and go, I'm not really, I'm like, I'm playing a couple games. Like, I will play The Outer Worlds till it's over.
Yeah.
And I will play whatever the next big title is immediately. And I'll play that till it's over.
Right.
But I'm not getting, for $5 a month, I'm getting what I'm paying for out of Game Pass when the price goes up. And it will, because if it doesn't, that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what that number is.
Yeah, I would first say I think there's a good chance of a price increase around the launch of the Series X. It just makes sense. I don't imagine it's going to be like, they're not going to triple the price of it. So I think it's going to be viable for a while. And it just comes back to a software question, right? Because I'm with you 100%. If you like do the math, okay, Outer Worlds is a $60 game. I'm paying $5 a month for it. So I get a year of playing, you know, paying for Xbox Game Pass for this one game. Anything else is kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You know, like that's an easy way to kind of justify that. I'm Ori and the Will of the Wisp. I played that via Game Pass. I loved that game. Just, you know, it was a blast. Fantastic. Whatever. If you don't utilize it all, that's kind of the thing with the subscription service. You know, we've got Spotify, we've got Hulu, we've got Netflix, we've got, you know, on and on, all the things that you subscribe to. It's just yet another one of those things is you just kind of have to balance that.
Yeah.
It's about software and if they can keep doing compelling software. But what I loved about this show is I thought it was a lot of compelling software.
Yeah.
Like they did a good job of showing software, which is not what I was anticipating from Microsoft. And even if it's not next gen, it's a lot of it's going to be included in my $5 a month subscription on my PC right now. And if I do get an Xbox, I can upgrade that subscription and have it on my console as well. And cool. You know, like it just, like at the end of the day, like the service is so good that even if they don't have the level of software that we want that somebody like Sony has, the service just seems like such a no-brainer, you know? And it's just like, okay, when a Ubi title starts coming out on Game Pass, that's where I'm going to play my Ubi titles and not on the PlayStation, you know? Yeah. Or when EA, and whether or not EA or Ubi or whoever starts doing that, it with Microsoft's install base right now, there's got to be a lot of temptation to do that. That's what's going to kind of get it over the top, I would think. But as far as executing a game as a service, a subscription-based model, even though I'll say this about Game Pass on PC, interface sucks.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, my God. I can't figure out how to install games half the time.
And
I'm like, this shouldn't be hard.
And the other thing, I've gotten totally spoiled by one feature that Steam has that everybody needs to add, and that's the ability to move games between libraries.
My goodness.
I made a joke to you the last time you were here that we needed to get that into install because I need hard drive space. I finally decided I have the hard drive from my previous computer, which I haven't touched because it has all the backup stuff on it. I have a Steam library sitting there that was previously installed. I never used that drive because it's backup. But I'm like, the library's already there. Some of the games are already installed. I'm going to add that. I'm going to add that library, and now I have 300 more gigs of space, which I desperately need because I keep installing stuff for the show, and I'm not getting, you know, getting around to it. So you're right. The service is absolutely compelling, but they've got it. You and Epic has the same issue.
Yep.
You got to be able to move titles between hard drives.
And just make it easy to navigate. That's even Microsoft's the worst at it, in my opinion, of trying to go through the Windows Store to find Game Pass stuff.
Yeah.
Just awful. I'm sure it works better on the console because it's a closed system. But yeah, on the PC, it's just miserably bad.
And there's no... We got to give them props because we talk about this all the time that we said all this stuff about the 360 and then we saw it and then we got Xbox Live and Xbox Live was the best online service out there. They are, if they would fix some of this stuff, the online service aspect of it is not even close. You and I love PlayStation Plus, but Sony does not have the infrastructure. I mean, the reason we love PlayStation Plus because they're giving us free games, but they don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they got. And so if Microsoft would take the, you know, however many clicks it is to have somebody redesign that store on the PC and add a couple of much-needed tweaks, they could very easily have the best service out there, period, not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. You mentioned Outer Worlds. They're getting a DLC, as you mentioned, which you'll get with Game Pass, which, again, is just wonderful. it's just the way to go. Called Peril on Gorgon. The trailer looked great. It's more Outer Worlds. What's not to love about that? But if
I was going to ask you yesterday, did you ever finish?
I haven't, no.
So, see, you have a reason to go back.
I love that game. That game is brilliant. And so, yeah, it's kind of...
Because I did, and that's what I'm most excited about. Like, the second that drops,
yeah,
that download's going, and whatever else I've got that I'm playing is going to the shelf for a little while because I'm going to play that till it's over.
Yeah. Obsidian showed a couple other games. We've got one called Grounded. This is the one that you mentioned where they said if you're looking for the game of the year, that's Cyberpunk, which was brilliant. Obsidian's great. I just love Obsidian. Grounded is essentially Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah!
And I love it. I want to play this so bad just because the world looks compelling.
I was looking around. I'm like trying to find the character model that is Rick Moranis. Yes. Waiting for that one. I'm like, is Rick Moranis in this?
Yeah.
Well, where are they? It's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes. That's dating ourselves. But man, I loved some Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I was young.
Yeah.
And that it's the video game version of it, and it just is compelling. You're little kids that are shrunk down to be the size of ants and trying to survive. And it's like, it looks like, I don't really get exactly what it is. It is co-op. It looks like it's going to be like base building kind of survival based game with like spiders coming after you. And that is about all I need to at least want to pick that up and play around with it a little bit. It's not a game that's going to compel me for a long time, but for a little bit, it's going to be fun.
I want to play that more than I want to play Minecraft or Ark.
Sure.
You know, and absolutely. That's a big deal for us.
Yep. And then they showed us a teaser of a game that we're not going to see for years, but I'm pumped about, which is called Avowed. That's going to be a first-person fantasy RPG. Think Dragon Age, Skyrim, kind of thing, but from Obsidian. And I'm all in for that game whenever it exists. Take your time with it. Make it great.
My thing was I didn't see enough of it.
Yeah.
Like, there was not enough. Like, it was dark, and there was arrows, and there was fire, and it was very clearly an RPG. But I'm like, okay, well, give me something. Give me story. Give me characters. Yep. And we didn't get that because they're not ready.
No, it's a long ways away. And there's a couple of games we're going to talk about that are a long ways away. the next one is called As Dusk Falls, and this is another Life is Strange-ish kind of title. What I didn't know about this one until afterwards is that, so this is from the developers called Interior Night, I believe, but it's the former creative head at Quantic Dream. that's making this game. Right? And this is maybe the one that, of all the games that I saw, was the one I most just wanted to play right now. It's very cinematic, again, Life is Strange kind of thing, or even Telltale kind of approach, it looks like. It has a lot going on with it that looks compelling to me. And then I found out that it's a Quantic Dream person that's working on it, and we've talked about Quantic Dream so much on this game and their storytelling abilities. I'm really pumped about this one. I think it could be really cool. It's going to be one of those indie titles, quote-unquote indie titles. But, yeah.
I really honestly believe we're the only two people that play their stuff. I think we're the only two people that play their stuff. It's all great, and we go on and on and on and on about it, and everybody else is rolling their eyes. But I'm telling you, if you've never played a Quantic Dream game, they're fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, we still need to play Detroit.
Yes.
We're so far behind on everything. Destiny 2 is coming to Game Pass. So if you need a way to play Destiny 2, it's the one game that Stadia has that they can kind of brag about that they're not going to have anymore.
And I think I've got, I need to look, but I think I've got Destiny in my Epic library. Like,
yeah, I'm sure
it's everywhere.
It's getting more content. That's called Beyond Light. It's getting optimized for Series X, on and on. Stalker 2 is coming, another one of those titles.
Okay, gotta talk about Stalker for a minute, because I don't know if you've looked on Steam recently. I played a good chunk of the original Stalker, and the reason I remember the original Stalker, because that was way back on the rig where I had the two 8800s and SLI. Remember that? I was playing around with SLI for the first time in my life, trying to make it work and do all that. And so I played a good chunk of Stalker, and they released a couple of, I don't think they were other games. I think they were more like standalone expansion titles, like a Dishonored kind of a thing. But I've got a lot of Stalker content in my Steam library, and I thought it was dead. So when this came up, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Again, it was a little teaser that was super pretty and cool, super fun little teaser. But don't have any idea of a release date. Apparently, somebody found 2021 hidden somewhere in it, and so next year at the earliest. But no gameplay, nothing like that. Again, which was kind of a theme through all of this. But still, it's a game that a lot of people are going to be really excited about. It's a good title that has been kind of on hiatus for a while, and it's good to see it pop back up. Yep. Apparently, it's going to be a timed exclusive on Xbox, and so that's their little
thing.
And again, going to be on Game Pass, so what's there to lose? They showed more Hellblade 2. Talked about it taking place in Iceland, which is super cool. Well, that's a fun place.
Did you finish that?
I've never finished the original.
No, okay, I haven't either.
Probably half of it or so.
We have to go back. Have to go back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. They showed a little clip with Jack Black singing the theme song for Psychonauts 2. It's just
okay. Couple of things. We love Jack Black.
Yeah,
and when he popped up, I'm like, there's his face. That's Jack Black. We're not going to get through the next 2 minutes without him singing. And off they went.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing. I think the reason that we love Jack Black is because he's the everyman in all of us. Like, that dude, if that dude was anybody else, he wouldn't get a record deal anywhere. He wouldn't get to do what he's doing. But he's Jack Black, and he has that sound, and people love it. I mean, dude can't really sing, let's be honest.
That's what I thought, too. The title track thing was pretty solid.
It was,
That was what I was sitting there thinking, because, I mean, this is part of what I do for a living, and I work with vocalists, I work with artists, and I was sitting there, like, expecting Tenacious D kind of Jack Black, stuff, which is fun, and I enjoy Tenacious D, but it's goofy and stupid and not about, like, his vocal ability.
Yeah.
He was singing the theme song. I was like, this is kind of legit. Like, Jack Black's, I mean, I knew he's a talented musician. Like, he has that to him, Like, in a comedy world sense, that gets kind of covered up a lot of times, but he's talented. But, like, dude has some pipes. I was really impressed. I was like, Jack Black could actually sing. Not just goofy sing, but, like, actually
and,
sing.
And he was, the thing that got me was he was belting.
Yeah.
Like, he had the hand up, and he was doing it, man. And I was laughing the whole time. Like, I'm laughing out loud.
As a recording engineer, watching that, again, this is the stupidest thing to get so caught up on, but it's just our world, and so it's where I got caught up on this moment. As a recording engineer, the idea of being in a recording studio with Jack Black and Tim Schafer just sounds like the most fun gig in the world, right?
I don't know how you would ever get anything done.
Either.
Like, I will tell you right now, I have told you that there are certain situations that if you ever run into, I don't care what has to happen, I don't care who you gotta hire, I have to be there. And if you ever end up in a recording studio with those two people, you gotta call me, and I gotta get, because I gotta be there. Yeah. Like, I gotta be behind the board, because we'll be like kids.
Yeah,
it would be a blast, and there would be alcohol and various other things. And you're right. It seems like so much fun.
Yeah. After Psychonauts 2, which, by the way, looks really pretty and is Tim Schafer in Psychonauts and should be fun, we got The Gunk, which is maybe my favorite name of any game in the event. This is done by the developer that did SteamWorld, which was a big hit. It's puzzle platformer kind of thing. Looks cool. Coming sometime next
year.
Yeah. This is kind of the filler section of the show. We got Tetris Effect Connected. So Tetris Effect, which already exists, is getting this new kind of mode, whatever thing for Xbox. Looked fine as Tetris, but like their little like commercial thing that they did for this was really good. Just the like everybody sitting in, like, for COVID times, like it was just the kind of execution of it was nice. We got Crossfire X, which is a shooter. Like a multiplayer shooter that I don't know a ton about, that we just saw a little bit. What I didn't realize in the moment, I just missed it, is it's a Remedy game, which that's kind of a big deal, right?
I totally missed that.
Yeah, I saw that afterwards, that it's Remedy, and so that got me slightly more interested. It's still not a ton. It just looks like another shooter. Warhammer also had a really pretty little trailer. It's Warhammer. I don't know what else to say.
I love those guys. I really do, but the geek in me, when I see Warhammer, I'm like, bro, what are y'all doing here?
Yeah.
Like, this is not what y'all do. I need to find a tabletop somewhere if I want to play Warhammer. That's just, like, it's always bizarre when I see Warhammer in a title because, you know,
yeah, it's a tabletop game.
We grew up, it's a tabletop game, and it always will be.
I've never played a video game version of Warhammer. To be candid, I've played very, very little. Watched some people play. I don't even know that I ever played tabletop Warhammer, but I have watched people play Warhammer.
Yeah.
Phantasy Star Online 2 getting new stuff. I don't know.
Wasn't all the stuff that they showed teased like 4,000 years ago?
Yeah.
The thing with Phantasy Star is every time I see it, my response is always, that's still alive?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Aren't those servers like offline?
Yeah. That's out of everything shown, that's the one I by far care least about. Again, there's people that play it, and God bless them, but man, not my thing. Two to end with, The Medium, which is a really bad name for a game, in my opinion.
Yeah, this it's not good.
Memorable. I've had to look up what this game was called multiple times. But the feel of the game, it gave me a Quantic Dream vibe, which is why when I found out the other game was by the Quantic Dream person, I was kind of shocked it wasn't this one. But anyway, it's this, they call it a dual reality game, where like there's two different, like it's a split screen down the middle, like vertical split screen thing, that you can see both sides of what's going on, and it's very bizarre, kind of. It's done by the same developer that did Blair Witch recently, And so it's very much got that horror vibe to
right.
it. But the gimmick to it of this kind of weird dual reality split screen thing could be really, really interesting as far as just like a puzzle-based game, that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's one that gets me. I didn't get super excited about it in the moment. But the idea of it is kind of interesting.
I don't so much love the split screen thing. What I would love is if they stole the Ratchet and Clank mechanic.
Yeah.
and you were like shifting between the two, like Doctor Strange style, you know, like
yeah.
I would be over that. The split screen, like I guess if you're Chad and I've got a 75-inch 4K TV, probably all right, but on a 40, I'm thinking that's probably not gonna look great.
Yeah.
So
And then we finished with their, but wait, there's more, which was Fable. And it just, I mean, we knew it was coming. Everybody knew Fable was coming. They leaked it. They talked about it before and knew it was coming. So no shocker there. We didn't see anything. I've got a little teaser of a fairy that gets eaten by a frog, which was entertaining.
It was funny.
It was funny, but we don't know anything about the game. So what we do know about the game at this point, the only thing that we really know, is it's not being done by Lionhead. It's being done by another developer, Playground Games, I think is what it is. And Peter Molyneux's involvement is, at this point, doesn't seem to be any, for what it's worth, of Fable being kind of Peter Molyneux's brainchild. I just literally saw something scrolling through Twitter that there's now news that it might be an MMO and not even a standalone first person or single player title. I just, if Fable is your one more thing, I get it. Like there's this aura of Fable still in the gaming milieu about it being this thing that it just never was, right? Like Fable was just kind of meh. Every iteration of Fable has just kind of been a letdown because they overpromise and underdeliver on it. And I just, like, I didn't see anybody hyped about Fable after the thing. This is the reactions I saw after the event was like, Halo doesn't look very good. And, oh, Fable. You know, like, that was their lunch and their closer to the thing. Well, the stuff in the middle was really interesting. Like, Fable? Maybe I'm a curmudgeon, but man, I just didn't care.
I'm sitting here trying to wrap my mind around the fact that you use the word milieu in this show.
I had to put the little milieu.
And so I was kind of shocked there for a second. But let me just say, and I think this is Microsoft's entire problem. I think that was the third or fourth time that Fable has been the, and we have one right. more thing. Like, the whole thing with the whole event, as much as I liked it, we talked about that earlier, it's nice to be able to watch this stuff. The whole event was a Microsoft boilerplate event. We opened with Halo, we closed with Fable, we got a lot of stuff that looks pretty good in the middle, but it's not coming for a while. They just did what they've done for a while. And that's not overly impressive. And you have changed my mind in the hour that we've been sitting here, because I texted you yesterday, which you didn't see till this morning.
Right.
But I texted you yesterday, I said they did a really nice job with that. That wasn't bad. And you said to me this morning when you walked in the door, you're right, it wasn't bad, but the bar is freaking low. And that's absolutely true. Their bar is so low that I saw that and I was like, well, it didn't suck.
Yeah.
So they must have done pretty good because it didn't suck. And so I guess this is where I want to throw it to the Facebook page, because I know Sam has opinions And I looked on Facebook this morning, and I did not get a chance to get to the Facebook page, but I noticed that I have 20 new posts to look through. So something blew up.
Yeah.
And I know there's people that feel differently about this than us. And you're just going to have to keep trying to sell us.
Yeah.
Because I get that xCloud is going to be cool, but the rest of it, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. I saw Sam post something on Twitter just commenting on Halo graphics and them not being great. Cabbage posted on Facebook, when footage for a Destiny 2 expansion looks more exciting than your new marquee Halo title, you've got a problem. Fair.
Well, and the thing that I found funny about that, which I almost forgot to bring up, is that Bungie was like, okay, we got fired from doing Halo, so we're going to do some more Halo and put a different name on it. The new Destiny expansion looks more like Halo in a lot of ways than Halo.
Yeah. At least visually should be more representative of what Halo is right now. You know, like, again, the gameplay of Halo Infinite looked really fun.
Yeah.
Because it looks like Halo. But, man, it just wasn't pretty. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And maybe it'll look better when they launch it. Like, I don't know what it is, but
so
it's hard to imagine.
So, and we got to wrap this because we got a lot to do. But my question is, and I've been sitting here for an hour contemplating, trying to figure it out, what could they have given us that made us say, wow?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think a truly next-gen looking Halo could have done it. I think this is why they put Halo at the very top, is because they knew it's an Xbox One title. You know, like, they know that it's not that blow-you-away next-gen thing. If it had been that, if it had been something that you look at it and you have the same visceral reaction to that you did Horizon or something like that. And
or they put Unreal that, 5.
Right, or Unreal 5, which, by the way, is Forza's, I think, Forza, one of them. Which one was they talking about Unreal 5? Anyway,
I
think it was Forza's being done on Unreal 5. They mentioned, alluded to Unreal 5 in their thing. But whatever it is, if you could have delivered that awe-dropping moment and have done that at the end of, and now the moment everybody's been waiting for, Halo Infinite, and ta-da, you know, like, make it beautiful. Like, the little rendered thing they did at the beginning was gorgeous. It's just when you got into the gameplay.
I was impressed with that because...
And that was as much of a problem, right? That you get this beautifully rendered moment that you're like, okay, yeah, Master Chief, here we go, the suit.
And he was funny, too.
And then you get into the game, and you're like, that doesn't look the same. You know, like, it just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they could have done that, I think that's the thing. Again, Microsoft just doesn't have first party stuff that's that level of, like, blow you away. If they would have come out with Fable and it's this fleshed out RPG that they showed you a lot of in this beautiful world, and they said, you know what, this game's 2 years away, but here's a look at the gameplay. Here's what we're trying to do. Here's all the promises that Fable's made you in the past that I would still be super skeptical, but I would be more interested in it. You know, like, it's just their big announcement at the end was a teaser. You know, like, it's just like, you could have put a screenshot on Twitter and done the same thing for me. You know, like, it just, that didn't instill any kind of, like, oh, I have to have an Xbox now.
One more thing. How much of this is driven by... on all sides, for all companies, how much of our opinions of what we're seeing from everybody is being driven and colored by what we think, what we believe Cyberpunk is going to be? Everybody knows, not just Obsidian, I think every developer on the planet knows that Cyberpunk is the big game.
Yep.
And if it delivers even half of what they're selling, that's game of the year. So how much is that coloring everything that's going on? Because everybody knows, for the most part, with a few Sony exceptions, Everybody knows they can't touch it.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we give.
Yeah. But to me, that also is like, sell me on the future more, right? That like, assuming that Cyberpunk is just a couple months away, we'll see if it actually hits its newest release date. But assuming that Cyberpunk comes out this year, Last of Us 2 is out this year, obviously, already, that those are the two big titles of 2020. They're fantastic. And again, you're probably not going to compete with those for the most part. Halo is going to be a fine game. It's not going to be game of the year, right?
No.
Like, it's not going to be better than The Last of Us, I can almost guarantee you at this point.
Nope.
And again, like you said, if Cyberpunk lives up to even a portion of the hype, it's not going to be that either. But that's why you got to sell me on Avowed or Fable, or at least bring one of those games that's a long ways off. And get me excited about what it actually is and not a teaser, right? Like, that's the bummer to me. Like, Sony showed us Horizon.
Yeah.
Like, we got to see Horizon running. We got an idea. And granted, it's a franchise we know, so we know how it's going to play. But Fable is, too, for that matter. We've got a sense of how Fable's going to play. Who knows? That Fable game, we'll see. I just don't think it's going to be a big deal as much as we're talking about. But even if you wanted to show us some gameplay, some world, some whatever to get us hyped about it and say, this is coming in 2021 or 2022, but here's your first look and here's the world that we're going to send you into. This is why you got to be an Xbox person. That would have been powerful. And it just, didn't have anything like that.
That's a good point because, you know, 98% of what Cyberpunk is driving is being driven by the world.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody really cares. I'm about to overstate it. I'm about to do the James Jordan overstatement thing. I don't think Cyberpunk is about the gameplay because I think most of the gameplay we've seen before has probably been done better in other games. Cyberpunk's about the world.
Yeah.
And you want to explore Night City. And Sam said it. You want it to be as pretty as you can possibly make it. If you got to spend $1,000 on a graphic card, that's what you're doing because you want that world and exploring that world to be as pretty as you can possibly make it. And so it's not... It's weird that it's not about the gameplay. It's not even really about the graphics. It's about that living, breathing world.
Yep.
And the only other example of that, well, there's two. The Witcher 3, which was their last game, and Skyrim. That's it. That's the list.
Well, I mean, I could give you a billion more.
Well.
But the point being is that the world is the important thing for large open scale games. And if you don't show us any of the world, it's hard to be hyped about them, right? Obsidian didn't show us any of the world. We don't know what Avowed is. I'm going to be into it because it's Obsidian and they do open world, big, cool environment
and
things.
The other thing about Obsidian is they're playing with house money.
Oh, sure.
Because the last three games, the one thing we know about Obsidian, and I used to say this about Rockstar, and I'm still saying it about Rockstar because they haven't proved me wrong. Obsidian doesn't do crap.
Right.
Like, they don't do bad stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't look at, like, where Bethesda used to be is where Obsidian is now.
Yeah.
So, like, they can give us a two-second teaser and say, look, and we're like, ooh,
yeah,
because they don't do bad stuff.
Absolutely. And CD Projekt Red is the same thing. But Fable isn't. Again, Fable from a new developer. It's not even Lionhead that's doing it. And so we don't even know anything about how they're going to execute. I need to see that world. I need to buy into what that is. Again, if you're just telling me it's more Fable, I go, well, I haven't really cared for Fable that much in the past. So whoopee, you know?
Yeah.
And Halo's kind of the same way, right? Like Halo, we know what it is. It's established. But Halo has five numbered titles plus other iterations in between there that are all good.
Yeah.
But not, they haven't been mind blowing in a while. The first game was revolutionary, and then the rest of them have been good, you know? And if what you have as a company, as your flagship marquee title, is pretty good, you know, like that's just, it's already got hyped. And that's why it makes sense for Microsoft to be focusing on the service side of what they do, because they do that better than anybody. The thing they do best isn't the games. Sony has better games. The thing they do best isn't accessibility to a broader audience. Nintendo does that better.
Right.
The thing that they're going to do is this service. And so, like, it's, we're watching it right now of what Microsoft will probably be doing 3 or 4 years from now and dominating. Just feels kind of mad right now. You know, like, it's just, we're in this little window. And now Sony may do the same thing, or, you know, partner with Amazon or Google or whatever, and become a similar competitive thing on that level. But right now, that's what Microsoft's working on. And that was really evident from the show without them ever having to explicitly say that. What we didn't get into is, just really quickly, let's finish with this. We didn't get price point.
Nope.
So the game of chicken continues.
Yep.
And the more I see of the Xbox Series X, the more it has to be less than the PlayStation 5. Because, again, the PlayStation 5 is just more compelling. They've got next-gen software, which the Xbox Series X doesn't.
And they have, more importantly, and I think this is interesting for you and me, I'm now looking at the PlayStation hardware going, okay, that's clearly better. And so they're going to tell me that they're going to charge me more money. And they are proving to me by default that they deserve to get more money.
Yes.
Because they put the effort into the hardware. That's not something that Microsoft has done.
I would argue with that. They have great hardware. They just haven't shown us anything that utilizes it, right?
Right.
Like, they keep saying the most powerful console on the market. Well, that doesn't matter if you don't give me games that utilize it.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. I don't agree necessarily that's, but I mean, spec to spec, they're very, very comparable systems.
Yeah.
Depending on how you want to define performance, you could give either one the edge. But the PlayStation's showing me how they're using it and Microsoft's not. And that's the key to me.
To me, that's the key to the generation, because if Sony comes out and says we're $550, I'm gonna go, all right.
That sucks, but
it sucks, but
yep.
They got this hardware that nobody's got and they're using it.
Yes.
Like, we're gonna give them $550. Yep. Or I don't know where the stop point is, because they're proving to me that, you know, we're spending money here and you need to give us money back. So
for me, I think that we've talked about this before. The PlayStation 5 sweet spot is $499. If they can do that, that's more than traditional console launch prices are. But okay, I can get it. You know,
right.
But on the other side, for Microsoft, the ceiling for me on the Series X of what makes sense is $400. Right? Like,
I mean,
$400 is a launch console price. That's kind of the traditional thing. Again, I can make an argument why I wouldn't buy it at $400. I'm not into it.
I'm going to say, to make me buy it, you want me to buy it for the same reason that I have the PlayStation 4 now? If you want me to buy the Xbox Series X and use it because it has better media stuff and other stuff that doesn't have anything to do with gaming. If you want me to do that, I'll pay $300 for it. I'll pay $325.
Yeah.
Beyond that,
I mean, you got to pay for the components. That's the kind of thing, right? It is a powerful box. That's the thing. It's a beast.
Yeah, but so is that. Like, I already have that.
Oh, sure, right. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, obviously, if you've got a big rig PC, you're kind of outside of. The Xbox thing anyway, because they got you there, you know.
Yeah.
That's the difference between Microsoft and Sony, is Microsoft is also in the PC market, where Sony's not. Again, kind of slowly maybe inching in there, whatever. So that was one thing we didn't get, price point. The other thing, we didn't get the Series S, the kind of scaled down hybrid whatever thing that's still supposed to potentially be announced sometime next month. I think that's the other really compelling thing that Microsoft has up their sleeve that could be, an ace in the hole, so to speak. We'll see whenever that gets announced and what that is and how it's going to work and so on and so forth. As somebody who has, again, fiber internet, that's a big deal. I have a gigabit connection at my house, but I do. And so I have that. If you give me a, $250 console that's hybrid and $10 a month Game Pass subscription to play all these games? Okay. I can get behind.
Look, I'll throw $250 right. at them. Like, I'll go do what I got to do to give them $250.
Yeah.
Like, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way about the PlayStation 5 necessarily. I know you're hyped about that because you have the gigabit internet and you don't have the, you know, like, the drive is just hanging off there. I get that. But this thing, if they gave me that, $250, sign me up.
Yeah, and so I think that could be the big thing that they come out with in a month and get people really hyped around it again. So I think it was wise of them to really just showcase games in this one, knowing that they're going to have a couple of big events before the launch of the thing to get some other stuff out there. So all that said, we need to wrap.
Yes.
It was an interesting event that had some good software and still leaves us with tons and tons of questions.
And I think it's interesting that they got as much time out of us for this show as they did, because, like you said, I don't even know where you watched it because you were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it took me about 2 hours to watch the hour-long thing because I had to wait for the stupid thing to buffer every 20 seconds. It was so brutal. It was really bad. Yeah.
So that's the thing is, you went through some serious effort to watch that to prep for the show, and that's what I understand why your response was what it was, because that is brutal to just see something that's like okay,
yeah, it was fine, good games, but again, what it is, what it is. Really quick, thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. As always, we appreciate everything you do and are going to do in buying us some new toys in the near future. So we are also going to get you all some content for the rest of the day. So be checking out Patreon if you're not already supporting us on Patreon. This is a good time to do it. It's going to be fun stuff up there.
We promise it's not gameplay. We got some good stuff today.
Nobody cares about us playing games.
We're not going to do that. We got some good stuff today.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. A couple of discussions that have come up this week that I thought were really interesting. So we're going to do that. We hope you guys really enjoy it. You know where all the stuff is. Got the Facebook, got Twitter, got the email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We have the voicemail line. People still submitting stuff to that. We swear we'll play it.
Yes. 509-GAME-210, yes. By the way.
So definitely call that. Give that a shout. And we will put that together. Other than that, I think we're wrapped for this. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored, continuing covers of idiots covering entertainment.
Idiots explaining.
Well, yeah.
Ike.
Okay. I don't know what that is. I dare you to say that again. That's a ton of an acronym right there. Inca. I love it. Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.